Four clergymen were taking an afternoon off from their heavy schedule and were on a park bench chatting, enjoying the early spring day. "You know, since all of us are such good friends," said one, "this might be a good time to discuss the problems that are disturbing us." And they all nodded in agreement. Well, I would like to share with you the fact that I drink to excess. There was a gasp from the other three. Then another spoke up. "Since you were so honest, I'd like to say that my big problem is gambling. It's terrible, I know, but I can't quit. I've been even tempted to take money from the collection plate." Another gasp. And a third clergyman said, "I'm really in trouble because I'm growing fond of a woman in my church, a married woman." More gasps. But the fourth man remained silent. After a few minutes, the others coaxed him to open up. "The fact is," he said, "I just don't know how to tell you about my problem." "It's all right, brother. Your secret is safe with us." "Well, it's this way," he said. "You see, I'm an incurable gossip." I think they all put hands on him and prayed that he would have a healing of memories. Well, somewhere here I have a list that I was supposed to share, and I hope I haven't lost it. Yes. You remember the, some of you do, this young assistant in a parish was approached by one of the ladies who had lost her dog, had died, and she wanted to have possibly funeral rites for the dog. So she asked him if there were any kind of prayers that could be said by way of funeral rites. And the priest explained that dogs really don't live after death. That's it. And he saw that didn't please her, or that she wasn't satisfied. So he said, "Why don't you go down to the corner to the Protestant minister? Maybe he has some funeral rites." So she thought about that for a moment. And then she said to him, "Father, what do you think I should give him as an offering? $500? And then he said, "Why didn't you tell me he was a Catholic dog?" And you ever heard about the charismatic horse? Well, this man, the charismatic, you knew him, bought a horse. And he trained him to respond to devout invocations. Like, if you wanted the horse to start, it was, "Praise the Lord." And off he went. If you wanted him to stop, it would be, "Amen." Well, now the horse was responding. But he got tired of it and decided to sell him. And so the man at bottom had to be trained. He said, "Now be careful, this horse responds only to prayer. When you want him to start, praise the Lord. You want him to stop, amen." Well, now he went out for a ride the next morning. Started off well, "Praise the Lord." Off he went, "Amen," and he stopped. So he now wanted to go into real gallop. So he said, "Praise the Lord," and he went on to a gallop. And he wasn't careful about where the horse was going. So the horse kept on going. And all of a sudden, he was aware that he was approaching a cliff. And he panicked. And he couldn't think of anything. And always we say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, stop, stop, stop." Nothing happened. And he got right to the edge of the cliff. And he said, "Amen." And the horse stopped. And then he looked over the cliff and the horse's head. And he said, "Praise the Lord." Now, you be careful of those expressions. Well, this is the last one. This is one that really made the rounds. There were five men on an airplane. President Ford, ex-President Ford, President Carter, that's the time he was president, Henry Kissinger, Pope Paul VI, and a hippie. Now, the plane developed trouble, and the pilot bailed out, and as he passed by, he said, "Fellas, plane's an automatic pilot, but we're in trouble, and there are four parachutes. I'll be seeing you." So now they're talking about who should get the parachutes. First one to speak up is Pope Paul VI, and he said, "Gentlemen, there are 600 million people who rely on me. I think I should have a parachute." They all agreed, put a woman on it, and they jumped out. The next one was ex-President Ford. He said, "Gentlemen, I'm an ex-president, and I'm still an important man. You might agree that I need a parachute too." So they agreed. And now that left Kissinger, Carter, and the hippie. So now Henry Kissinger, he spoke up, and he said, "Gentlemen, you know I'm the world's smartest man. Jawohl. So ich muss ein Parachuten haben, ja?" So he puts on something, and out he jumps. And he waves and he says, "Auf Wiedersehen! Auf Wiedersehen!" Now that leaves hippie and Carter. And President Carter says to the hippie, "Young man, there's one parachute. What do you think we should do?" And the hippie says, "Mr. President, I don't think we have a problem. Because you see, the very smartest man put on my knapsack." Now, you've heard expressions like, "Oh, life is treating me terribly," and "life is unfair." Well, this man was in that mood, and he says, "Life is unfair. I lost my car keys at a ball game, never found them. I lost my sunglasses at the beach, never found them. Lost my socks in the washing machine, never found them. I lost 3 pounds in a diet, I found them and five more." Well, if ever you're in trouble with your car, you better keep this man's final word in mind. This woman is sharing. She says, "A friend of ours who lived several miles out in the country was on her way to her job in a town early one cold, misty morning. She was in a hurry, was driving across a bridge a bit too fast. Too late, she realized that it was coated with ice. Her car spun out of control. It slid sideways, then backwards off the end of the bridge. Hitting the soft shoulder of the roadway, it flipped over the guardrail, rolled down a 30-foot embankment. Miraculously, it landed upright on all four wheels. The woman got out of the car and was surveying the damage when a man came running down the hill from a nearby house. 'Are you hurt?' he shouted. No, I'm all right, she answered. Really, I'm not hurt. I'm okay. After a pause, she added quietly, God was with me. The man studied her in amazement. Okay, he said finally. I reckon he was. But lady, if he keeps on riding with you, he's going to get himself killed. Well, the Bible is used for many things. And this mother has a son who is a dentist. And a woman is sharing this. She says, my cousin, who had just opened his dental practice, was dismayed when his mother told him she was embroidering a Bible verse to hang on the wall of his waiting room. Mom, you just don't put a Bible verse in the dentist's office, he groaned. His mother assured him that he would like it. He did. The verse his mother had chosen was Psalm 81, verse 10. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And this one has to do with His Eminence, Cardinal O'Connor. In the South Bronx, a small group of children from St. John Chrysostom School were invited down to the Waldorf Astoria to be part of a living Christmas pageant hosted by Cardinal O'Connor. The children were thoroughly coached to answer, Yes, Your Eminence, or No, Your Eminence, in the event the Cardinal addressed them personally. After the pageant, the Cardinal did approach the children and began asking them questions. When he came to a little first grader with beautiful black braids, the Cardinal patted her head and asked, Could I have your beautiful hair? The little girl responded with a radiant smile, No, Your M&Ms, you can't. Well, you probably have had a little boy in a thunderstorm with lightning, and you can appreciate this little fellow. Frightened by lightning and thunder on a dark night, a little boy called out, Daddy, come, I'm scared. Son, God loves you. He'll take care of you, said the father. I know God loves me, but right now I want somebody who has skin on. So, try to be for your little ones God's love with skin on. Well, some wee little ones. How do you rid a dog of fleas? Well, of course, you won't think of this answer. Give him a bath in alcohol and a rub down with sand. The fleas get drunk and kill each other with throwing rocks. We have an objection there. Somebody with fleas? And then politics. The art of obtaining money from the rich and votes from the poor. This is a description of politics. The art of obtaining money from the rich and votes from the poor on the pretext of protecting each from the other. Politics. Sorry about that one. Oh, you're not sharp today.
No.
All right. Well, you can appreciate this. Wrinkles are hereditary. parents get them from their kids. I knew you'd get that one. And this one, too, if you got college kids in school. College student wired his message home. No mon, no fun, your son. Father cabled back. Too bad. How sad, your dad. Ah, you got that one. Well, here's one about the Russians. His name is Boris. Arrived at the pearly gates and was welcomed by St. Peter. Showing him around, the saint said, "You can't go anywhere you want. You can go anywhere you want with one exception. You cannot go on the pink clouds." "Why not?" asked Boris. "Because," answered St. Peter, "the pink clouds are reserved for people who have done something great."
"But I have done something great," said Boris. "I make speech at Kremlin against Russian officials. Then I tell people to revolt. And I say, fui, on communism."
"And just when did all this happen?" asked St. Peter. And Boris looked at his watch.
"About 2 minutes ago." That is new glasnost.
Here's something written by the philosopher Spinoza to defend jokes and joy. Joy, he says, is an emotion by which the body's power of action is increased or assisted. Sorrow, on the other hand, is an emotion by which the body's power of action is lessened or restrained. Cheerfulness is joy equally affecting all the parts of our body. Cheerfulness, therefore, is always good and can never be excessive.
And handle that. His name is Mr. Kramer. Was in the hospital for a long time. One night, the phone rang at the nurse's station. "How is Mr. Kramer?" the caller said. "Oh, he's doing very well. In fact, he's being discharged tomorrow. Who shall I say inquired?"
"This is Mr. Kramer. The doctors don't tell me a darn thing."
Well, I don't know. This is rather compromising, but it's understandable. The newly appointed priest was being briefed by the housekeeper on problems in the rectory that required immediate attention. Your roof needs repair, Father," she said. "Your water pressure is bad and your furnace is not working." "Now, Mrs. Kelly," the priest allowed, "you've been the housekeeper here 5 years, and I've only been here a few days. Why don't you say our roof and our furnace?" Several weeks later, when the pastor was meeting with the bishop and several other priests, Mrs. Kelly burst into the office terribly upset. "Father, Father," she blurted, "there's a mouse in our room and it's under our bed." He probably turned every color of the rainbow. Well, here's one about Harry. Harry bumped into an old friend. After a long talk, the friend asked about Harry's family. "I know you always wish for a closer relationship with your relatives," he said.
"Well, my wish came true," Harry said. "My sister, who hadn't talked to me in 10 years, calls me every day. My antisocial brother visits all the time. And the rest of the family is just as friendly. Fantastic, the friends marveled. What did you do to make them change? Harry replied, I won the lottery. Well, be careful when you read notes that are given to you. Read them twice before you read them aloud. A sailor's wife approached the pastor of her church just as he was stepping into the pulpit and handed him a note. The note said, Harold Pete, having gone to sea, his wife requests the congregation to pray for his safety. The minister hastily unfolded the note, and with his mind on the sermon that he was about to make, he announced, Harold Pete, having gone to see his wife, requests the congregation to pray for his safety. Well, you grandmothers, be careful when you read letters. This octogenarian in our town was known for her lively sense of humor. Since she lived on the same street as her son and his family, mail mix-ups often occurred. One day, one of her grandsons, home from college, received a letter from his girlfriend. To his chagrin, the envelope had been opened and then taped shut again. And across the front, his irrepressible grandmother had scrawled, delivered incorrectly, opened accidentally, enjoyed thoroughly. All right, just one or two more. There used to be a popular restaurant in Pittsburgh called Captain Cook's. The owner, Barney Cook, was a real cut-up. He was always playing practical jokes and cheering everybody up. Barney had a loudspeaker, and he would announce customers' names as they came in. One day, one of Barney's friends, Joe, came by. While Joe was eating, he suddenly slumped to the floor. His first face turned blue, and he was gasping. Everybody panicked. People were running around, calling for a doctor, a nurse, an ambulance. Barney calmly told everyone to move aside. He got on his hands and knees and he whispered, Joe, can you hear me?
Yeah, Joe replied weakly, I can hear you.
Have you paid your check? Barney asked. Joe started laughing and laughing. A healthy color returned to his face, and by the time the ambulance arrived, Joe was feeling fine. Well, I don't know that I'll tell that one again. You'll have to listen to the tape for a replay. Well, here's one on Pope John the 23rd. When a new building had to be constructed on Vatican grounds, the architect submitted the plans to Pope John the 23rd, who shortly after returned them with these Latin words written in the margin, Non sumus angeli, which means we are not angels. The architect and his staff couldn't figure out what the Pope meant until finally someone noticed that the plans did not include a bathroom.
Well, here it goes.
Letter from an Irish mother. Dear son, just a few lines to let you know that I'm still alive. I'm writing this letter slowly because I know you can't read fast. You won't know the house. You won't know the house when you get home. We've moved. About your father. He has a lovely new job. He has 500 men under him. He cuts grass at the cemetery. And there was a washing machine at the new house when we moved in, but it hasn't been working too good. Last week I put in 14 shirts, pulled the chain, and haven't seen the shirt since. And your sister Mary had a baby this morning, but I haven't found out whether it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know if you're an aunt or an uncle. And your Uncle Patrick, he drowned last week in a vat of whiskey in the Dublin brewery. Some of his workmates tried to save him, but he fought them off bravely. They cremated him, and it took 3 days to put out the fire. And I went to the doctor on Thursday, and your father went with me. The doctor put a small tube in my mouth and told me not to talk for 10 minutes. Your father offered to buy it from him. And it only rained twice this week, just for 3 days on Monday and then for 4 days on Thursday. Monday was so windy, one of the chickens laid the same egg 4 times. And we had a letter from the undertaker. He said if the last payment on your grandmother's plot wasn't paid in 7 days, up she comes. Your loving mother. P.S. I was going to send you £5, but I had already sealed the envelope. Now, this is a resume prepared by the Jordan Management Consultants, and it was taken from a church bulletin. 2, Jesus, son of Joseph, Woodcrafter's Carpenter Shop, Nazareth, 25922. From Jordan Management Consultants, Jerusalem, 26544. Dear Sir, thank you for submitting the resume of the 12 men you have picked for management positions in your new organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests, and we have not only run the results through our computer, but also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. The profiles of all tests are included. and you will want to study each of them carefully. As part of our service, and for your guidance, we make some general comments, much as an auditor will include some general statements. This is given as a result of staff consultation and comes without any additional fee. It is the staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience and managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable, given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the sons of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, definitely have radical learnings. And they both registered a high score on the manic depressive scale. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He's highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All of the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your new venture. Sincerely yours, Jordan Management Consultants. Well, I received this written note, it's brand new, from an 80-year-old woman having gone to confession on one of my retreats. It's not a revelation of her confession, but she is saying, "Dear Father, I forgot to tell you something in my confession." Mm-hmm. "Well, there are several men in my life. In the morning, Charlie Horse visits me. In the afternoon, I entertain Arthur Idis. And at night, I go to bed with Ben Gay." Well, this mother saw her 3-year-old son put a nickel in his mouth and swallow it. And she immediately picked him up, turned him upside down, hit him on the back, whereupon he coughed up 2 dimes. Frantic, she called to the father outside, "Your son just swallowed a nickel and coughed up 2 dimes. What should I do?" The father yelled back, "Keep feeding him nickels." And if you go to the barber shop, you might hear something like this: "Don't regard it as losing hair. Just think of it as gaining face." And here's one for the restaurant. A woman dining out summoned her waiter, requested that the air conditioning be turned down. Minutes later, the same woman was fanning herself, and she again summoned the waiter, asking that the air conditioning be turned up. As her complaints continued, a man seated at the next table beckoned the waiter. "She must be driving you crazy," he said, "making you turn the air conditioning up and down like that." "Not at all," the waiter replied. "I'm driving her crazy. We don't have air conditioning."
husband and wife joke. A husband and wife often disagreed on things, with the wife as a rule winning the arguments. The husband would quit during the heated battle, go off to the basement, where he kept a punching bag. He'd swat away for 15 minutes to vent his frustration, and then he'd feel fine. One day the tables were turned, and the husband was winning. Sensing his wife was about to blow her stack, he suggested that she try his punching bag. She took him up on it. 10 minutes of whap, thump, pow, sock brought her back upstairs, grinning from ear to ear. "Why so happy?" asked her husband. "Why shouldn't I be happy?" she said. "I knocked you out in the third round." Well, if you ever have to deal with a traffic cop and you're in nursing, well, here's your answer if he gives you a ticket. A young police officer awoke in his hospital room following an appendectomy. He was aware of discomfort in the surgery area, but also noticed with some surprise a painful pulling sensation on the upper part of his torso. Gingerly lifting his hospital gown, he found a 4-inch-wide piece of adhesive tape firmly enmeshed in the hair on his chest. Neatly printed on the tape so that he could easily read it looking down was this message: "Get well soon. From the surgery nurse you gave a speeding ticket to yesterday morning."
Just be careful now when somebody proposes to sell you something. Listen to them very carefully. And we talked about discernment. Well, this man here saw a fisherman standing in a lake with a mirror. "Excuse me," he said, "but could you tell me what you're doing?" "I'm fishing." "With a mirror?" the man said. "Sure, it's a new invention. I'm going to make a fortune." "Could you tell me how it works?" "Okay, but it'll cost you $100. First man was so curious that he handed the fisherman the money. "Now, show me how it works," he said. "Well," the fisherman began, "you aim the mirror into the water. When a fish goes by, you startle him with the rays of light reflected from the mirror. The fish gets confused, then you grab him." The first fellow was shocked. "You can't mean to tell me that that's how you fish. It's ridiculous. How many have you caught?" "You're the fifth," the fisherman replied. Well, you mothers can appreciate this one. A mother with a toddler in arms and another child in tow is shopping in a department store when the two children begin this verbal barrage. "Mom, can we have a toy, Mom?" "One toy, one toy." "Please, Ma, just one, huh?" "We'll see." "One toy, one." One girl says to the other, "That's enough, dummy. She just said yes." That one was over your head.
It was.
Oh, these kids are smart. Oh, if I have to explain it. Well, I hope our future listeners will get that one. But there are others. A fellow named Bobby bought a new car and wanted to show it off. He drove down a road and passed an old man riding on a bicycle. Bobby zoomed past the old man to show how fast his car was going. A little bit later, the old man whizzed past him even faster. Bobby was so surprised that he passed the old man even faster again. Then the old man on the bike came shooting past him again. Finally, Bobby decided to stop and see how the old man was, why he was going so fast. Bobby watched in amazement. When he stopped, the man on the bike went shooting ahead of him again, then went backward, then forward again, and finally stopped. "How do you do that?" asked Bobby. As soon as the man caught his breath, he said, "Would you please unhook my suspenders from your car door?" Now, here's one. This has to do with the man of the cloth. My father, a minister, was eager to get home to his family after several days' absence. He was traveling just over the speed limit when he was pulled over by a police officer who was unimpressed with my father's explanation. "Oh, a minister, eh? How would you like me to preach you a little sermon?" My father replied with a sigh, "Skip the sermon. Just take up the collection." Well, this is very appropriate. At the petitions of the Mass, all the people are making intercessions, you know, for my husband that will find a job. Let us pray to the Lord. And that my child will get over her cold. Let us pray to the Lord. And for Father John, that he will get a new car. Let us pray to the Lord. Then all of a sudden, from the back of the church came this. "For the Subaru in the parking lot with the lights on, before it goes dead, let us pray to the Lord." And immediately a woman got up and dashed out of church. This mother was preparing her son for confession. And just to be sure that he would do it right, she pretended that she would be the priest and showed him how to bless himself and to say the words, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was." So she started out and pretended that now she was hearing his confession. So she started out with him and she said, "Peace be with you." And her son said, "And almost with you."
Well, dear friends, we've come to the end of our jokes, and I hope by listening to them you were really entertained, were able to really laugh, and to see the need for humor. And I'd like to say a little prayer for everybody that will ever listen to these jokes. Lord, we pray for all those, especially, who need to be cheered up, who need to see the cheerful side of life, that you'll bless them, Lord, with an abundance of joy. A cheerfulness is so good for us that builds us up and takes us out of negative patterns. We praise you, Lord, for the many humorous things that you yourself